President Bush is still scrambling to come up with the votes he needs to defeat the Democrats' version of a bill that would allow patients to sue their HMOs. In negotiations yesterday, the president offered concessions in the hopes of convincing enough members of his own party in the House of Representatives to support him. The swing votes in the fight over the so-called Patients' Bill of Rights belong to a group of moderate Republicans. They have the potential to disrupt the president's conservative agenda. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Ever since Jim Jeffords delivered control of the Senate to the Democrats, the White House has counted on the House of Representatives to launch legislation the president wanted and to bury Democratic bills he opposed. And for a while, the House delivered. Not a single Republican voted against the president's tax cut. His education reform bill sailed through as well. But then, a group of dissident Republican moderates began denying President Bush an easy majority. Republican Rob Portman of Ohio is the liaison between the House leadership and the president. He compares the moderates to the Democrats who broke with their party's congressional leaders in the early 1980s and gave President Ronald Reagan a working majority.
I think they're in a very important and powerful position. Much as the boll weevils were back in the days of Ronald Reagan, they're the ones who hold the balance of power. For the most part, they are very supportive of President Bush.
But they've been giving the House Republican leadership heartburn. Here's Mike Castle of Delaware, one of the moderates' leaders.
I think sometimes, frankly, part of our leadership on the Republican side view the Republican conference as a monolithic block, and that if a majority supports something, then everybody should support it. And most of us just don't look at it that way. When it comes to substantive issues that impact our constituents in this country, we are going to assert ourselves in terms of our positions. And right now, you're seeing almost a deluge of these kinds of issues.
The 40 or so moderates in the House have created speed bumps, if not full-fledged roadblocks, on a series of bills. 2 weeks ago, 19 of them helped defeat the Republican rule for the campaign finance reform debate. Last week, another group of moderates forced a brief delay in the vote on the president's faith-based initiative because they were concerned it might allow religious groups to discriminate against gays and lesbians. Next week, many moderates will vote against oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. But as Mike Castle points out, they are unlikely rebels.
We're not a bloc. And I think people have a complete misunderstanding of what moderates or centrists are. I think they hear the word and they think whether these people who meet in a group and they vote together, or we don't.
Case in point, the Patients Bill of Rights. One of the co-chairs of the moderates caucus, called the Tuesday Group, is Nancy Johnson of Connecticut. She is leading the fight for the president's version of the Patients Bill of Rights. Yet another member of the Tuesday Group, Greg Gansky of Iowa, is a co-sponsor of the bill favored by the Democrats.
We'll never be able to get 43 of us in the Tuesday Group to line up together and say, this is not going to happen.
That's Mark Foley of Florida, another moderate leader. Unlike the Gingrich conservatives of the early 1990s who voted together and were not afraid to undermine their own president, Foley says the moderate Republicans in the House today don't even attempt to find a unified position.
That is the nature of being a moderate. We like to influence legislation, but we don't want to be disruptive, and we recognize with a narrow majority we have to work closer with Tom DeLay and Dick Armey and Speaker Hastert. We want to work with them.
Moderates like Foley are often torn between their convictions, which could lead them into an alliance with the Democrats, and their desire to see President Bush succeed.
We're loath to work with Democrats because we know they're using us for their strategic and statistical advantage to beat us in the next election. I mean, Dick Gephardt's mission is not to be the minority leader. He wants to take Denny Hester's job, and I'm not going to participate in a coup attempt to make that possible. So I will put aside some of my passion on some of these issues, not put it aside forever, but say to my leaders, listen, let's close the doors, let's hash this out behind closed doors, let's get our conference unified, let's try and find some solutions.
Ironically, it's the Democrats who have helped make these Republicans so powerful. Back in January, the White House and House Republican leaders miscalculated. They assumed they would be able to pick up a couple dozen conservative Democratic votes on many issues, the way Ronald Reagan did. But the House Democrats have been surprisingly unified, and that's forced Republican leaders like Rob Portman to change their strategy.
With the historically slim margins in the House of 5 or 6 votes, it's a partisan atmosphere up here on the Hill. The Democrats would like to regain control of the House. They're putting all their efforts toward that. As a result, our moderates become all the more important. We're working with them probably even more closely than we would be if we could find more success among conservative and moderate Democrats.
The White House is working harder to win moderate Republican votes. Peter King of New York is a maverick Republican who often votes with the moderates. 2 years ago, he voted for the Patients' Bill of Rights, co-sponsored by Democrat John Dingell and Republican Charlie Norwood. But this month, King was invited to the White House to meet with the president twice.
The first one was in the cabinet room. There's about 15 to 20 members, most of whom had voted for Norwood Dingell last year. And quite honestly, I didn't think the president was on his game that day. I felt he was going through the motions.
The second meeting, King says, was in the Oval Office, and it was as if Mr. Bush had disappeared into Clark Kent's phone booth.
I never saw Lyndon Johnson in person, but this is what you read about Lyndon Johnson. I mean, President Bush ran the meeting, very controlling, very passionate, very strong. There were all sorts of staff people there, but he answered and fielded all the questions, and it was almost like he was a different person.
King switched, and he is now supporting the president's version of the Patients' Bill of Rights. Mark Foley says he's also noticed a difference in the way the White House treats moderates. The change was gradual. While the Republicans' numbers in the House never changed, their majority is just as tiny as it's been since January, the issues have become more divisive. And then there was that wake-up call from the other side of the Capitol.
Probably the earthquake that occurred, the seismic shift, was Jim Jeffords. When he walked, the party recognized we better get everyone in the room and start talking, and they've done that, and I think they've been successful in at least stemming a hemorrhaging of some members like myself who were getting dissatisfied with progress on some issues.
On the Patients' Bill of Rights, Foley is also one of the 68 Republicans who voted for the Norwood Dingell bill 2 years ago, but now he says he's undecided and is listening to the president's arguments. If Mr. Bush is successful and can get enough Republicans like Foley to vote with him, he will have succeeded in quelling another mini-rebellion by the moderates. But it probably won't be the last. President Bush is learning that having a majority of Republicans in the House of Representatives is no guarantee he'll have a majority of votes. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.